Hi, I'm Donna, and I'm here with Pastor Josh, and you are listening to Jesus-Centric Leadership. It's good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely, and we are dropping this right after you just kind of got put in a new position, right? How does that feel?
It's good. It's good.
Okay, are you just saying that?
But that's good. No, it is good. I think it's great to be able to look back, and you guys gave me an opportunity to do that, and I'm excited for what's ahead for our children, our students, our church, and our community at Peace. Like, there's some great things ahead, and to be able, like I said, to celebrate what God has done. So if you don't know, I have just shifted out of children and student ministry where I've been.
And do you remember your new title?
I actually do. I'm the director of Ministry Pathways. I do have to pause a second on that because we brainstormed a lot of different titles. Some were a little bit HR heavy, and I don't want to venture into
Donna's
the HR.
Donna's not doing HR. Rest assured.
That's not what God's called me to. as we looked at kind of having that heart for the ministry of Peace overall, and how we really help people to feel a part of community, whether they've been here for a long time, they're just getting here, or they don't even know that we're going to find them yet. God is really, I don't know, it's exciting, and I'm super excited for what's ahead for children and student ministry, too. Some people have asked if I'm grieving that, and not at all, because I really believe in who God's calling to be next and how that's going to look. And Thomas is just a great man, and his faith is big, and students just really see that in him. And I think they're going to be blessed.
Yeah, and we are very much going to be blessed by a church with him, and we're blessed by you, and we're blessed, you know, to be a part of community. And I think one of the things that's, you know, really important for me as we talk about community is I've heard this said a lot of times. I've heard it from Carrie Newhoff, but others have said it too, that nobody can out-community the local church. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but what thoughts do you have about that?
I think I've heard you say that. I wonder if it's nobody can or nobody should. Because
Nobody should be able to,
Because I've seen seasons where we knew our community well, and I've seen seasons where I think we had more to learn and understand about our community. I think for us, one of the best things that we've started doing is literally praying for our community in worship. It was interesting because you prayed for McDonald's this Sunday. And shout out to McDonald's, right? But it was really good because we had some visitors, and they looked over at me and went, "Do we really just pray for McDonald's?" And I said, "Oh yeah, we're praying for our local businesses." And then you prayed for one of the churches in the area, and they were like, "What? You're praying for non-Lutheran churches?" And it's important for us. And I just love that, because I think as we pray for those businesses and we pray for those churches who are Christ-centered, and as we're praying for the schools, we pick one each week to pray for, God's just going to open our eyes and our hearts in all new ways for our community. And we should be wanting to love our community. But when a church is in a location where they don't understand who's across the street or who's two blocks down, that can really set the church aside in not a positive way.
I think it's a little like those little things make a big difference. Like praying for those places. We had a newer person that's been attending here at Peace with her family, and she approached us about, "Hey, I go with this coworker. We work for nutrition, I think, in the public schools. We're going to this school and praying on this day. Would you guys like to come?" And so that was neat to be able to, you know, have that in common with her, that she cares about her community, wants to pray for her community, and sees us doing that same thing. And then we get to build community at Peace that cares about our community outside Peace.
Right. And it becomes a both and.
Yeah.
We want to love people well who are here and who are currently a part of our faith family.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to love people in our community well, because
you
said it really great. You said we don't know the burdens that people, even our grocery store, are carrying.
Yeah.
How did you say that again?
I forget. You don't know the struggle going on behind whatever's the person is doing. Like, they could be having a bad day and treating you rude, but what's going on behind that, right? And so can we care about them when they're being nice to us, but also when they're not?
Yeah, and in the middle of my day that may not be going so well, each person is an opportunity to be hands and feet of Jesus in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta be honest, sometimes that's a little bit hard for me to put on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something I put on and take off. It should be with me each and every day. But if I've had a hard day and I'm a little into myself, it's hard for me to be selfless as I look at the world around me. But I think I need to work on that, because our world needs that right now.
Yeah.
It really needs some love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and it's interesting when we say community, you know, at peace, we probably got to differentiate for a minute, because we talk about it in two ways, right? We talk about that we get to love in this community, those who gather in this building, those who are part of this church family, whether we meet here or not, but we love the community that calls Peace with Christ their faith family, but we also love the community out there, right? So we're, you know, we're using almost the same word for both. The community of Aurora and the community of Peace with Christ, right? But it's all community.
Right. And it's great when we start thinking it that way, then there isn't a separation. When I'm saying community, my heart really starts getting, I don't know, a firm picture of where God wants me to love.
Yeah.
And I hope it's always outside of here. I want to love well when I'm here, but I really want to be focused on that when I'm outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there is a sense that, like, the training we do in here is training for out there, because it should be. It's not always, but it should be easier to love our faith family than it is to love our community. Again, sometimes your faith family, our faith family, can be challenging, but we get to be that community here and also out there.
Right. I think I saw that lived out really well. And maybe I've shared this before in a prior podcast, but when our students went on a disaster relief to Pilger, Nebraska. Now, Pilger, 75% of their town was taken out by two tornadoes that were coming side by side, took out the town and the majority of it. And we were, I think I was volunteer number 5,000 or something. They had so many volunteers that came in to help their town rebuild. But when we were there, we were working with a volunteer coordinator, and I asked her, I said, so the homes on the edge of town, they were spared. And do they ever feel guilty about that? And then did the people who came out of their basements to no home and looked over and those homes were pristine, did they ever feel frustrated with that? And she looked at me like, why would you even ask that? That's the look on her face. And I was like, oh no, I asked the wrong question. And she goes, no, because our town was built on those that have share, and those that don't know that they can go and get the help that they need.
Oh,
so
wow.
We as a town came together, right?
Yeah.
That's community. It's not about what you have or what I have or who you are or who I am. It was about being unified in purpose, that they could rise together. And they did. The town actually survived it.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me, like, to be able to look beyond my own things, to be able to love in a way that, I don't know, that can do some really great things. And that can only come from God.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, the way we kind of talk about our value of community, right, at Peace with Christ is, you know, and we've talked about this briefly before, but we're talking about community today, so it's the right time to bring it up, that we resist radical individualism and yearn deeply for relationship and prioritize others here, right? And you know, again, this is both an in and out, both the in peace and outside of peace, both within our church faith family and outside in our community. But, you know, how do our listeners begin to prioritize others? What does that look like for them? How could they take some steps that way?
Yeah, I think we have to back up one step and go, as an extrovert, that excites me. Yeah, no individualism. We're all in. Let's go. And probably for an introvert, which you are, that can be like, oh, that might be a little harder. You know, like that's a lot of people and that's a lot of people time. It's gonna take. But I think it's a both and. I think when we realize that this isn't gonna come overnight. Culture doesn't change overnight.
Yeah.
It's going to be one step at a time. And that's one step of how we love each other here. Because we have to be real.
Yeah.
Like, we can't set it as a goal or say that we're doing this, you know, we decline radical individualism or whatever. We can't say that and not do it. So we have to have a culture here that really does care about each other. And that might take a little bit still to really get to where we feel like we've got that, what we want. I don't know.
I'm
saying that. And then I think it's going to take going out and living that out. And it's a both and. We're going to do that at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not taking on the whole thing. It's, I got to do it one step at a time and make those steps. Like, what is my goal here? Well, I'm going to really stop and plant my feet when I ask somebody, how are you? Right?
Ask it again if you need to.
Ask it again if you need to. I'm terrible with names, terrible. And you've challenged me of, hey, you're going to be in this role. You got to know those names. So I'm trying to work on that, but that's my one step. We all have those one steps. And then as I live it out outside of these doors, what am I going to do? Well, I'm really convicted right now. I've got to do a better job of loving my neighbor. I've had some resentment this past summer. I work hard on my yard, and I don't want snakes in my yard, and I think there's some snakes in his yard, and that makes me nervous. But it's not about that. It's about I still have the responsibility to love him. So I need to do that. Those are two big areas for me.
Yeah.
And I think when we get on the same page of doing that together, man, it's limitless what God's going to do with that, right?
Yeah. And I think we've talked about the extrovert introvert before, and I think sometimes, at least for people, and I know I'm going to talk about my generation. I think sometimes for people in my generation, it can be like an excuse to have an overabundance of self-care. Like, well, I'm an introvert. I need all this time to myself. God says be together in community. And so if you don't have time to be in community because you need that much self-care, then are you going to trust your introvert extrovertedness? Or are you going to trust the fact that God says to be in community? Because I could do that. Like we've talked before, I'd be a recluse. Like if it wasn't for Sarah and my job and the word of God. But like for me, like I find that I'm the most healthy, and I need to probably quantify this, but I'm the most healthy when I have a certain number of relationships or certain number of unhurried time with people that I enjoy, right? Some people wear us out, but some people bring us joy, even if we're an introvert. And so how do we foster that community in our neighborhood and in our community here at church? And I would say whether an extrovert or an introvert, like we just have to make a priority of it.
Which Jesus did. And, you know, we're not putting down self-care. Times Jesus had some self-care. When he would have healings or he would have the Sermon on the Mount after that, he went off to pray and he went alone. He needed some time.
Yeah.
I think the storm, when he was on the boat in the storm, he was down below alone. He needed to get some rest, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's being aware of where God's challenging you to take that next step.
Yeah.
And maybe not always seeking my comfort zone. I would be around people all the time, but that's not good for other people or myself.
Yeah.
But I have to really be intentionally spend time in the Word, to be as filled with God's Word as I get filled with people.
Yeah.
So each personality has its own...
its own challenges or baggage or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
So one of the ways, Pastor, that we've been challenged is when we have the podcast is, where do you see Jesus? Like, so where do you see an example of where Jesus had a heart for community? For God so loved the world that he gave. I get that.
Yeah.
But where are some examples where he was so intentional with community?
I mean, the one that comes to my mind is feeding of the 5,000, right?
I was gonna say
like,
that, yeah.
the disciples, what did the disciples say? They say, send them away so that they can go get food. And Jesus is like, no, feed them. And I kind of view it like a little bit like this. Like, it's kind of like every once in a while, I think I had it more in college, where we'd start hanging out with friends and we wouldn't have a plan. And Sarah and I were like, yeah, we're just going to see what we have in our freezer because we don't want the party to be over. We want to keep hanging out with you guys, so we're not going to send you home. We're going to feed you. And Jesus kind of does that, and he does it with 5,000 people, right? Like, it's almost like Jesus wants the party to go on. Or turning water to wine,
right?
He doesn't want the party to end, right? And so I think that's really key, like that you see him valuing relationships. You see him valuing smaller groups of people, right? It wasn't always about the multitudes. It was sometimes about pulling aside the 12 or the 3, right? And so we saw that happening too. And so we really see Jesus valuing community over and above, everything else, right?
Right. So as a leader, how should this speak to me, our concept of having a heart for our community at peace? What are you challenging us to do?
Yeah, I think it's at some level sacrificing some of yourself for the sake of others. So as an introvert, when I'm around people, I'm giving something very valuable to the people around me. I'm giving energy, right? Because that's what it does. Being around people takes my energy. But when I do that, I'm giving them a gift, and a gift of relationship. And I think as Christians, when we give of ourselves, God always gives us more back than we need. I think if, you know, my goal is, if I've been filled with Christ, how do I allow myself to be poured out for the sake of others? Now, obviously, you know, back to, you know, self-care is important. Jesus talked about a Sabbath. We see Jesus take himself away from others. But I would say, if you're not doing some of that relational pouring out, if you're not having some people that you're close with that you're checking on, if you're not having some neighbors that you're checking on, you don't have to be a superhero that's with people 24/7, but you do have to be with people, and you have to care about them. I think that's what we're called to do as Christians. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen all at once.
No.
I think it is a pouring into. There's a couple that lives across the street from me, and they're my son and daughter-in-law's age, and she's going to have a baby soon.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah, and they very slowly have asked more questions about the church, but I very much approach them just first on, I've had a little more home experience. This is their first home. They've had to borrow some things, and that's okay. I want to help them. I want to serve them. But out of nowhere, they asked about the van and why I had the van at my house right before the mission trip. And I said, well, I'm going to go on a mission trip. Their dad's about to retire and move to this area, and he may want to come and check out our church to see if this is a place he would like to serve, because he loves to serve and to do mission trips. Here God has this all lined up.
Yeah.
I just need to show up.
Yeah.
God has the details. He has what needs to happen.
Yeah.
I don't have to take on the they've got to be converted by 4 conversations, right?
Right.
Because that's not mine. God has them, and he's already spoken into them. It's my responsibility and joy to get to build those relationships. And sometimes I don't feel like it. I mean, a hardcore extrovert in their days, I'm like, I just want to mow my yard and go in, right?
Yeah.
But it's okay, because God will give you what you need for that moment. And the same thing I think is true. Something I hear a lot inside our community is, but what about us? And I think as we look at having a heart for community at peace, we really want, nobody's going to get left behind. Nobody out there, nobody in here, no one gets left behind. I love, we've said this in youth group forever, Ohana means family, and family means nobody gets left behind, right? From Lilo and Stitch. And it's a great saying, because whether you're a part of, you've been a part of our faith family forever, or you're new to it, we want to just love you.
Mm-hmm.
And love you like Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
and not that perfect, right?
But. No, but as best as we can in our flawed self. Yeah, and I would say, you know, and I think there's great grace in that, but also don't miss the challenge in that you're, you know, that we want to do everything we can, but the best thing you can do is you can partner with us in that, and that's by valuing community. And I think just, you know, a good action step for everyone out of this is just really, because I think we all want to make an impact. We all want to make a difference, whether it's in our family, our faith family, our community. And I think one of the maybe the best starting place to make an impact in people's lives is just to have a relationship and just see where God takes it. And I think as we value that community, we're going to see the opportunity to do good for people as God calls us, as we're able to step into that. But don't miss the chance to form relationships with people.
And that goes back to Jesus and Matthew. Could you have imagined if Jesus had missed the opportunity with Matthew? Mm. Like, there would have been a whole group of people that may not have been reached. But what God did through Matthew is pretty amazing. And, yeah, his ability to be able to convey that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the don't put the onus on yourself to reach every person, but who is your one person? You're one person here, you're one person outside. You know, maybe if you've been here a little longer, you can, you know, widen your circle to be 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10. But who are your people that you get to have relationships with? And be fed and nourished by that too. Like, I think God has given us relationships for a reason. That's why he told us in 1 Corinthians not to give up meeting together, right, as some are in the habit of doing. I think 1 Corinthians. You can call me out if I said the wrong verse, but yeah.
Good. All right. Well, I think we've got a lot of takeaways for today.
Yeah.
But I think the most important is who's that one that God's put on your heart, and both inside and outside.
Yeah.
And what's he calling you to do next?
Yeah.
And just pray for that and pray for opportunity. Thanks so much, Pastor. And thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to the next Jesus-centric leadership.